1045 CT Hayward and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As Nikki Haley begins campaigning in her home state of South Carolina and Donald Trump prepares for his appearance today in the E. Jean Carroll trial, possibly, Joe Biden is gearing up for a fight against Donald Trump in November. Here's ABC White House correspondent Karen Travers with more.
For the campaign, this is the matchup that they wanted because, one, they know they've already beaten him. And two, when you're an incumbent who has poll numbers like Joe Biden right now, the best option you can probably have for a re-election battle is to make it a choice between you and another guy who is so polarizing. So they know that they can very deeply demonize a candidate like Donald Trump because Americans know him so well.
Alabama will this evening attempt to put an inmate to death using nitrogen gas, a never-before-used execution method that state claims is humane but critics say is cruel and experimental. This is ABC News. Actor Alec Baldwin now requesting a speedy trial as he faces charges of involuntary manslaughter and the deadly shooting on that New Mexico movie set, Rust. More American support for Taiwan, another U.S. delegation paying the island a visit.
Pounding the drum of maintaining support, a group from both parties, including Florida's Mario Diaz-Balart.
Among the main messages that we are bringing here today, and again, this is very simple, that the support of the United States for Taiwan, it's firm, it's real, and it is 100% bipartisan.
One reason for the strong support, the West's dependence on their microchips. Taiwan produces some 60% of the world's semiconductors and 90% of the most advanced ones. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
And an international spat over tea. An American chemistry professor has published a book through Britain's Royal Society of Chemistry saying the perfect cup of tea needs just a pinch of salt. Tea lovers in Britain are a bit salty about that advice. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Todd Almost Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
It's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state of Wisconsin issued more than 60,000 initial professional licenses last year. That's a 38% increase over 2022. The head of the Department of Safety and Professional Services says the average review time for new licenses is down to less than 4 days. An amended version of Governor Evers' maps from the Wisconsin legislature is on its way back to the state Senate. The assembly Wednesday passed changes that would protect some Republican districts. Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer.
We're open to engaging with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle on maps. If those conversations are in good faith and are going to produce a fair map, we need public input on anything in front of the legislature.
The state Supreme Court says it'll draw new maps if lawmakers and the governor don't do it themselves. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks win at home.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A week ago, the Bucks lost by 40 points to the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Last night, it was the Bucks 126-116 over the Cavs at Fiserv Forum. Damian Lillard with 28 points and was asked what went through his mind after hearing Adrian Griffin had been fired as head coach.
Like everybody else, you know, just kind of surprised by it, but I've also been around long enough to know that it's part of the business.
Joe Prunty on serving as interim head coach until a new one is officially announced.
In all of my years of doing this, It's never been about me.
College hoops, number 14th ranked Marquette down DePaul in Chicago, 86-73. The Badgers will host Michigan State at the Kohl Center tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers fired their strength and conditioning coach, Chris Gizzy, after five seasons. Gizzy was the linebacker for the Pack who carried the U.S. flag onto the field the first game after 9/11. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We have some fog and freezing drizzle out there this morning. It's going to be cloudy, foggy, and drizzly throughout the day today. Our high 37, the wind south at 5 to 10. Tonight, more of the same, foggy, some freezing drizzle, 31 the low. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high climbing up to 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
At 7:06 on this Thursday morning, January 25th, all across Wisconsin, across the Civic Media Radio Network, and live from Lake Wissota, it's nice to have you here on this Thursday. Coming up in this hour, our weekly Women Win Wisconsin segment. Kristen Lyerly will be back with a guest who is looking to make a difference in her area of Marquette County and beyond in a run for office, and we'll find out some of the details. Also, some troubling details on the kind of legal language that's being put into bans and restrictions on abortion. But first, some fairly important notes for anybody thinking of walking out the door here, because once again, temperatures are hovering either side of the freezing mark. In fact, I'm not even going to rattle off all the temperatures because every one of them is either 32, 33, or 34. Very consistent around the state here. So Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will join us now to talk about the fog, the potential for slipperiness, and where we go from here. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. Goodness, we're at the worst temperatures possible statewide right now. Mm-hmm.
But before I forget, sunset is now 5 o'clock and beyond.
Positive.
No more 4 o'clock sunsets.
So we did it.
Woo-hoo.
We're moving in the right direction here.
We are. As soon as the sun pops out of these clouds, though, goodness, stuck there in dense fog once again. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is happening because the warmer above average temperatures sliding over the current snowpack. It's just creating the melt, which is the fog. So we're getting that really, really dense at times, actually less than a mile into portions by the lake, into the Fox Valley, Stevens Point, even Eau Claire as well. So take it easy, leave early this morning, and be careful on those bridges. Temperatures there are colder on the street because you have the air flowing underneath it. So you're more likely to have slick and slippery spots. Plus, the fog is freezing if you're at 32 degrees or lower. So that means your stairs, your patio, the sidewalks could have a small glaze of ice. So keep that in mind as you're walking around. Otherwise, today we're looking at spotty showers pushing in right now towards La Crosse and also in towards the Dells area. We have those chances throughout the entire state early today. But as we go through the afternoon, rain ramps up. Moves in the southwest corner of the state, pushes northeast throughout the afternoon. This starts mainly after lunch and continues through tomorrow. Now, for a lot of us, our temperatures are going to be above freezing again today. So that's going to be rain and rapid snow melt, which could lead to some localized flooding. So keep that in mind. Homeowners, if you haven't already, a good idea is to clear some snow away from your house, because this, when you have the rapid melt, you can get leaks into your home as well. So keep that in mind. We are looking at a wintry mix possible. This looks like we're flipping over Friday morning, and that looks like it could be anywhere from Eau Claire to La Crosse, all the way through Wisconsin and in towards Marinette.
All right. And Rob reports from Tigerton. They've got light fog and 33 degrees. The roads are wet, but there are some icy spots. And then Rob went on to add how much he misses sunrises and sunsets, loves to take pictures of those and the rest of nature. So thank you, Rob, for checking in on all that. And thank you, Brittany, for some very good words of wisdom to protect people's tailbones by.
Oh, goodness. Seriously, I've broken mine. So I'm telling you, I thought it was going to be snowy with no ice on top. I was just like, oh, I'm going to run in the snow.
Nope. Penguin. Walk like a penguin. That's the way to get it done.
Exactly.
All right, Brittany. Thank you. Have a great
day. Thank you. You too.
Talk to you later. All right. So when Governor Evers gave his State of the State address this week, there was a lot of policy talk, of course. There was a little bit of looking back at what was done, a lot of looking ahead to what he'd like to do. The governor is rather, you know, mild-mannered and soft-spoken, a lot of folks. You know, he's harmless as a kitten most of the time. But we also learned this kitten has claws. As we move into the issue of women's reproductive health rights, and the governor reminded Republicans in the chamber that they're out of step with public opinion and with their values on abortion, and he decided to, you know, throw Tim Michaels under the bus while making that point.
Republicans are advancing a bill that would ask Wisconsinites to strip themselves of some of the basic reproductive freedoms that were just recently restored to them. In cases, and no exemptions in cases of rape or incest. Folks, Wisconsinites have been abundantly clear. As another example, Republicans' last candidate for governor wanted to take those same freedoms and more away. You might notice he's not here delivering the State of the State address tonight.
Needless to say, that wild applause was only coming from, you know, one side of the chamber, and I really thought you could hear everybody yelling "Oh snap!" all at once. But Kristen, it made the point. Continuing to pursue these bans and restrictions means you are woefully out of touch with the bulk of your neighbors.
And I think that's why the Republicans earlier this week introduced this 14-week abortion ban, because they need something to go back to their constituents with, to say, no, we get it. And we want to be moderate. They know this will never pass. And this ban is, I know we're going to talk about it. The details of this ban are just, you got to read it so that you understand what's here. This is not a moderate ban. This is absolute interference in your personal healthcare decisions for now and well into the future.
It happens so often with this particular legislature that they say their bill is moderate in some way. And then you read the bill and realize it's anything but, you know, it was we'll let the Secretary of State, you know, control elections. But if you read the bill, it's actually still Republican legislators who do. They say we want Iowa style nonpartisan redistricting. But if you read the bill, it shows that the Republican legislators still have control over it. And on it goes. So you called attention to a Substack newsletter put together by journalist Jessica Valenti. The newsletter is called Abortion Every Day. And the headline on this one is Republicans want women to have C-sections instead of emergency abortions. A Wisconsin bill is part of a broader trend. And we've talked about this a little bit previously about the way they're trying to micromanage and spell out what is and what isn't an abortion. But now, as we learn more about it, we're looking at how they would force doctors and patients to go through things that are probably more dangerous than how you would typically perform an abortion.
Definitely more dangerous. And it takes all the decision-making out of the hands of the patient. You know, I recently counseled someone who was dealing with almost exactly the same situation as Kate Cox in Texas. So as a reminder, this is a woman who has a history of 2 C-sections, and she was pregnant with a desired pregnancy, but this baby had trisomy 18. This baby was not going to survive. And in Texas, a judge granted her the ability to receive an abortion, which was what she needed, what she wanted. And then an appeals court took it away and she had to go somewhere else to get her care. Well, luckily, I'm in Minnesota, so I was able to counsel someone from a medical perspective, not having to worry about all of the legal things. And these are the things that we talked about. Here are your options. you can carry this baby to term if that's what you want to do. But the risks there are all the pregnancy risks. Carrying a baby to term is 17 times riskier than terminating the pregnancy early. Plus, with a history of two C-sections, that means she needs to deliver by C-section. And every subsequent C-section is significantly more dangerous because of the scar tissue and the risk of bleeding and damage and damage to other organs and infection. So these risks are not minor. Plus, with a pregnancy like that, there's a risk of something called mirror syndrome, where the pregnancy can actually make the mom sicker. So that is the riskiest alternative. But if that's what your mom wants to do, we can do that. But the here's next alternative, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was going to read the bill's language. It dictates that unless it would increase a woman's risk of dying or cause irreversible physical impairment of a bodily function, doctors providing emergency care to those 14 or more weeks into pregnancy must, quote, terminate the pregnancy in the manner that, in reasonable medical judgment, provides the best opportunity for the unborn child to survive. In other words, forced vaginal labor and C-sections rather than your typical abortion procedure, saying you can't have that. You have to do whatever is best for the unborn child to survive, even though you're terminating the pregnancy. They want you to make the mother go through major abdominal surgery.
And the child won't survive.
Right.
So in this situation where I was counseling this patient, the next alternative was that we could, she could deliver that baby now at 22 weeks, but that would ruin her uterus because of where we would have to make the incision. She, if she chose to have a pregnancy in the future, would have a very high risk pregnancy with a very significant chance that her uterus could break open during the pregnancy, if she were even able to get pregnant again in the future. So that's not a great alternative. And if we were to perform a dilation and evacuation, which is what she eventually chose to do, the risk of infection, of bleeding, of having to have an additional procedure is so much lower. It's 17% compared to 50% if she were to undergo a vaginal delivery. So the risks are so much greater when you have to follow this legislation that these politicians are wanting to force on women against their will.
As it notes here, the legislation would force doctors to traumatize and endanger women whose health and lives are already at risk. There's a big difference between a 10-minute abortion and major abdominal surgery or a forced vaginal delivery. Why then, she writes, would anyone support such legislation? Why put women through hell when their pregnancies aren't even viable to begin with? But Jessica Valenti goes on to write, none of it makes sense unless you understand that their goal has never been to help women or babies. It's about forced pregnancy and childbirth, period. Anti-choice groups are desperate to divorce abortion from health care. They want to convince Americans that abortion is never necessary to protect or save someone's life and health. So they're pushing legislation that would force women to undergo C-sections or vaginal labor in lieu of safer and easier abortions. That's it. It's detaching it from health care. So we have to say it again and again, abortion care is health care.
Abortion care is health care. And we're just talking about the physical implications. When you can't make your own decisions, when you can't decide what the next best thing is for you, that affects you not only now, but for the rest of your life.
And again, that's in Substack. Abortion Every Day is the newsletter that's put forward by Jessica Valenti, V-A-L-E-N-T-I, if you'd like to look that up. We'll continue with more with Kristen Lierley, and our Women Win Wisconsin segment is on the way as well. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Ken, this is the anniversary of the birth of Etta James, born this day in 1938.
Welcome back to Mellow Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where you wake up and feel like you need to go right back to sleep again. Close your eyes, everyone. Let's go.
Back on Up North News Radio now. Would you stop that? Talking with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and we're getting into parts of the political debate over abortion care that are a little bit more difficult to talk about, but have to be brought up. We just spoke in our last segment about, you know, micromanaging the degree to which politicians would force women to have certain types of procedures done on them to make things as traumatic as possible. And on top of that, now our next subject deals with states that have banned abortion since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and the number of pregnancies that have resulted from rape in those states, states that often don't make exceptions for rape or incest. And Kristen, this number just knocked me back on my heels, that the research shows more than 64,500 pregnancies have resulted from rape in the 14 states that have banned abortion since the Dobbs decision. And to look at some of the individual states, 26,000 of those, you know, rape-induced pregnancies alone were in Texas, as well as Missouri, Idaho, Mississippi. This is absolutely mind-numbing news.
26,000 pregnancies due to rape in the last 16 months in a state where the governor said that they would eliminate all rapists. That was his answer when people asked about rape and incest exceptions. He said, no, we're going to eliminate all rapists.
Well, heck of a job there,
Brownie.
That did
not happen.
No, it did not. And
and we all knew that that was ridiculous. I mean, it's right. Impossible, which is one of the reasons why abortion needs to continue to be available to people.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much more to really add to that. It's just that when you don't have those exceptions for rape and incest in there, I mean, you just limit women's choices that much further. And you just open the door wider to that level of violence and trauma, and that degree of medical complications that result from it. So when people say, well, you know, is abortion going to still be a political issue in 2024? Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. It's most definitely.
Yeah. And this is 65,000 pregnancies related to rape. So if you think about how many additional rapes occur that don't result in pregnancy.
And don't get reported either.
And don't get reported. Yeah. I mean, the numbers are truly staggering.
Mm-hmm. So again, there's not much more to talk about, except that when you make it on a state-by-state basis, when you create this national checkerboard of people that have to travel out of state to where abortion is legal, you also can't help but note the number of states, and I don't have the latest in front of me, but I mean, there are states, I think Idaho, Texas among them, where they're trying to basically, government will arrest you for trafficking if you're traveling on certain roads, you know, en route to get an abortion where it is legal. I mean, just stunning big government stuff here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Idaho and Texas are the two, but I think Oklahoma and Arkansas recently have introduced similar things. How do you help people? How I think about Wisconsin and the chilling effect of our 1849 ban and how we're so afraid to talk about abortion. Doctors are afraid to talk to their patients about it, and patients are afraid to seek information. When you live in a state where you don't even think that you can sneak out of the state to go get the care that you need, I can't even imagine how overwhelming that feels for someone who is already disadvantaged and in an incredibly vulnerable situation. My heart goes out to my colleagues there and the women that they take care of, especially the women that they take care of.
One more point that I want to take care of on this topic, and it deals with this Wisconsin bill. And the author, when she was asked in a committee hearing this week, why didn't she include exceptions for rape and incest in the original language of the bill? And her answer, essentially in so many words, said, well, you can't really believe some of these rape and incest victims. Her answer was along the lines of, I haven't really met anybody who didn't know by 14 weeks that they were pregnant. And so that's plenty of time for a rape victim or an incest victim to know they're pregnant and be able to make a decision about it. So there's really no need to put in any exceptions beyond 14 weeks for rape and incest victims. I can't use the full word, but I'm sure if I were in that committee hearing, I would have said respectfully, I call bull on that.
Well, I mean, this Moms for Liberty assembly member, it doesn't work in healthcare. I don't know how many conversations she's had with women about their periods and the things that happen in their lives, but there are a lot of people out there who don't have regular periods, who really, truly don't know that they are pregnant until late in the pregnancy. We think that, you know, women are like clockwork and we have periods once a month, but for actually a large percentage of the population, that simply isn't the case. So her entire argument is based on a false premise. And this whole law is based on a false premise. 14 weeks, if they're using that as a hard cutoff, the time where the clock starts ticking in this law is the post-fertilization age, which is not a medical term. And frankly, really, really hard to determine, even for people who are receiving like IVF and infertility treatment. You don't know when your egg was fertilized. You know, maybe when you had sex, but some people don't even know that. I mean, it's hard to track. So this entire bill is flawed in so many different ways. It is not scientific. It is not something that is meant to protect the public, to take care of people. And it's just really meant as a talking point so people can go back to their constituents and say, I did something.
And it used to be that if legislation like this was written so recklessly, using a standard that is not based in medicine, that you could count on courts to throw these things out pretty quickly to say, get out of here. You can't medical science bases pregnancy on, you know, missed periods, not on the date of fertilization. Get out of here. But conservatives have so politicized the courts now that you have judges that are upholding some laws, throwing out some laws that simply defy explanation because it can be rooted in nothing but political ideology. That's the most troubling thing to me.
It's really true. And it does affect the way that we take care of our patients. Our 20-week abortion ban that we have right now in Wisconsin is also based on post-fertilization age, and it makes the end date fuzzy. And that always makes us feel very uncomfortable about the potential that we could get in trouble because we don't exactly know what fertilization was. And someone could go after us for helping our patients.
And that's exactly what some politicians want. They want law enforcement, which maybe should be engaged in ways to, you know, prevent rapes from happening, instead to be the uterus police or, you know, the sex police or, you know, guarding the roads against somebody leaving the state to get the health care that they need. That's the kind of ideology we have now with this particular band of right-wing politicians. All right, for many stations, Pam Yonke will have our farm market update and more news that affects Wisconsin's rural economy. And then Kristen's back with our Women Win Wisconsin segment, live from Lake Wissota on Up North News Radio.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Search is on for our next Alice in Dairyland. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. Now remember, Alice in Dairyland is basically Wisconsin's agriculture ambassador. It's a marketing position held within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Ashley Hagenow is our current Alice in Dairyland. And although she came into the position with a pretty solid base of understanding about Wisconsin agriculture, she's still surprised every day with something new.
What has surprised me the most as I've continued to learn more about this industry, especially through attending different events and industry tours, is just how diverse Wisconsin agriculture is. I feel like I had a good grasp on how diverse our industry is, especially through the process of running for Alice in Dairyland myself last year, going through the top candidate journey, learning about some of our top commodities. But I have continued to deepen that knowledge, especially when it comes to the different specialty crops that call the state of Wisconsin home.
Ashley Hagenow, she's our current Alice in Dairyland. That paid position through the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection will accept applications until January 31st. The position is a $45,000 salaried position that allows for use of a program vehicle as well as reimbursement for individual health insurance premiums. You can find out more and apply at aliceindairyland.com.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
The end of harvest, snow cover fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Don't get caught off guard in 2024. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
And it looks like milk production in the month of December finished flat. Here in Wisconsin, we produced 2.67 billion pounds of milk, basically unchanged compared to a year ago. Our cow numbers also unchanged at 1.27 million head. The 24 major dairy-producing states as a group saw December milk production go down about a tenth of a percentage point. So there's just a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for you on a Thursday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We have some fog and freezing drizzle out there this morning. It's going to be cloudy, foggy, and drizzly throughout the day today. Our high 37, the wind south at 5 to 10. Tonight, more of the same, foggy, some freezing drizzle, 31 the low. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high climbing up to 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or are covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
7:34 right now on this Thursday on Up North News Radio, live across the Civic Media Radio Network, and Kristen Lyerly is back with us as well, and hopefully we'll get a visit to with Kathy Gordon, part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment coming up in just a bit as well. But on the Up North News social media feeds, I was looking at the Facebook page right now, scrolling down a bit to see some of the things that Sherita Booker puts up, and you know, finds content about Wisconsin from other folks on, you know, TikTok and wherever. And one of them is a guy who claims to have been to all 50 states, giving his countdown of the top 10 friendliest states. And Kristen, it won't surprise you to find out that Wisconsin is on his list. We apparently are friendly. You get that when you're traveling, I'm sure. People going, oh, you're just so gosh darn nice being from Wisconsin.
I think people think that we are genuinely nice. You know, there's like that passive aggressive nice, that Minnesota nice, you know. Mm-hmm. I think people think that Wisconsin people are really nice. And can I just put in a plug for Northeastern Wisconsin? Because
people in
Northeastern Wisconsin, yeah, those are my people. No, we're really, really nice.
When I went to Georgia a couple of weeks ago, people are so sparkling nice there that as a Wisconsinite, I was even off put. I was like, "Ho, oh, good morning to you too." I guess.
Well,
Heart, Greg.
Bless your heart. Yeah, right.
I know what that means.
You don't know what they were really thinking. I got that same thing when I was in the Carolinas a couple of years ago, where it's like, "Oh, you are so syrupy nice," which just behind the scenes, you know, deep down tells me they would put a shiv in my back the first chance they got if they thought that, you know, that this hippie liberal were going to ever get into like elected office down there or something like that. So yeah, there's fake nice and there's bless your heart nice.
Where there's were also you in Georgia, Greg?
What was that? I was in Atlanta.
A few weeks back. Yeah. Big
and Macon. We went to Macon, Georgia too. Beautiful, both beautiful places.
Yep.
I used to actually live in Marjorie Taylor Greene country.
Ugh.
It's different up there.
Way to bring the room down. Okay.
But the people, honestly, the people are very nice. It's the influences. It's just such a different culture.
There's definitely influences there. Yeah. I've sent you both a link to another Up North News Facebook post where somebody used AI to envision what does the typical fan of every football team look like. And so we've posted how AI thinks the typical Green Bay Packers fan looks like. Kristen, are you able to see that at all?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think.
Who is that? Who is that typical Packer fan there?
It looks like.
Tell me it's not
from
Greg.
The Door County Farm for Veterans.
It looks
like Jacob Vanderplas.
I think Greg's got a brother who lives in a computer someplace.
I don't know. In another world, I would definitely date that handsome man, let me tell you. I'm really surprised because we get made fun of so much for like what we eat that he doesn't have like that he's not like sitting on two bar stools. You know what I mean? Like whenever they say we generate in Wisconsin, we're always fat, and I'm surprised this guy is so like he looks like he's ready to punch bricks to make houses.
Yeah,
it could very well be. Yes. Oh dear. So I've got a
that
note
guy
here.
Would never wear that hat though. That guy would never wear that hat.
That you don't think the AI guy would wear the stocking cap like that with the big green and gold and the G on there?
No, AI guy with the beard and the glasses looking really serious would not wear that silly hat. I do nothing.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Take a look at our Facebook page. Go to search for Up North News WI and find out more. See if it resembles somebody that you know. Chris Gordon joins us now for our Women Win Wisconsin segment. Kristen, you want to give us a little intro to Chris Gordon?
Yeah. Chris Gordon is an extraordinary woman who is already running for Senate District 14. She is focused on what's happening in rural Wisconsin, and she's an expert in clean water. Chris Gordon, welcome to Women Win Wisconsin.
Thank you for the greeting. Expert might be strong, devoted, advocate, constantly curious, willing to take the lead on important things that need to be done. I have to tell you one thing that's happening in rural Wisconsin is I apologize for being late on the feed. I live in the hinterlands, and sometimes the internet just don't go.
No, it don't. The hamsters can only run so fast on the little wheels that were first installed without fiber optics. So we're very glad that you made it and very glad to have you here. Now, look, we know that there are going to be new maps. There's going to be new lines. But for folks who, you know, want to get to know more about you, the part of the state you're in, describe the way the current 14th Senate District is laid out. What kind of territory are we talking about here?
It's large. It's sprawling. We are all of Marquette County, all of Green Lake County, parts of Washera County, Adams County, Columbia County, slices of Fond du Lac, smidgen of Dane, smidgen or part of Dodge, Waupaca, part of Waupaca County. It is large, it is sprawling, and it I think it looks like the poster child for gerrymandering.
Oh, I don't doubt that one bit at all. So why? We got a big old district there, and you're looking at it and you're looking at your experiences and you're saying this is an office worth running for. What made you decide?
Well, the 14th district has had a Republican senator for over 130 years. And so I'm thinking it's my turn. Our current senator, Joan Baldwin, is a lovely person who votes right along Republican party lines on all the issues. It is my concern that being lovely isn't enough in this case. We really have to be willing to take risks on behalf of our rural constituents. We can't take what her party has considered to be the safe route by protecting the interests of large industry and the wealthy. We really have to protect the interests of our rural residents.
It's fascinating to me. You said 130 years of Republican control, and think about how the parties have changed and swapped over that period of time. And still, it's been a Republican-held seat all that time. That historical view is really interesting.
And it's moved all over the place. There's, if anybody is interested in looking at it, the there's this great little link on Wikipedia about the 14th Senate District in Wisconsin. And you can see where it's hopped all over the place. And you can also see the history of the senators who've represented us. And I think it's fascinating. It was just time.
Uh-huh. And it's always been rural, which is 30% of Wisconsin.
Always.
And
absolutely,
that is something that you care deeply about, the issues that affect rural folks. Tell us more about that.
Well, I chose rural Wisconsin for my grown-up home. When I was a kid, I was raised in Greendale. It's outside of Milwaukee. And we always vacationed and spent our time in the woods. When I was, a teenager, my parents got a lake place in central Wisconsin. And that's where I did so much of my growing up and so much of my true personal passions and my values were developed. I chose to go to school at Stevens Point so I could be near central Wisconsin. And it's just always been my home. My husband and I purchased our home up here in the latter years of my mother's life when she was suffering from the impacts of dementia and we wanted to be close by. And then after I retired, we made that our permanent residence. We still have an auxiliary backup home in southeastern Wisconsin. We're near our son, who's an adult with special needs. And great guy, he's doing well, but he needs a little mom close by for a day or two a week. So we zoom back and forth on those days. But central Wisconsin, it's where my heart is. It's It's beautiful. It smells special. It smells like sun on sand and pine needles. Well, not today. Now it smells like melting snow and wet pine needles. But it is, it's breathtaking. I love it here.
I hear you saying that you moved there in the first place because of family. And you're back and forth because of family. You clearly care about family and understand how important those connections are in your life. How do you, as a future senator from this district, intend to support those kinds of policies and the kinds of things that government can do to encourage those relationships and build that kind of community?
Okay. One of the big things that's happening here in rural Wisconsin and across the state is our young people can't stay here and raise their families too often because they have to move for work or move for school. Our technical colleges across the state, we have some stellar programs, but if a person wants to study in the skilled trades, it's really difficult to stay here in rural Wisconsin without because there aren't the programs, these fabulous expansive programs that we have in the larger metro areas are not available here. To four-year universities, no, not. And I don't anticipate or expect or advocate that we build universities and big technical campuses everywhere, but we have to maybe look at how we're managing our educational systems to make them accessible, how we finance them. My goodness, in a rural community, the school is the heart of the community. There's your downtown, but in your downtown or near your downtown, it was traditionally the school, and everything functioned around our schools. Our schools are really struggling, and some of them in rural communities are even closing. We have to look at new options for school finance. We have to look at ways so that just because you are growing up in the country doesn't mean that you shouldn't have access to the kinds of outstanding educational programs we can provide in Wisconsin. But we have to change the way we finance.
Have to, because I looked yesterday on the DPI website and there are at least 60 referendum issues coming up between the February and April elections, but I'm sure some more are still, you know, being processed and coming in and coming close to last year's record number of school referendum issues, again, because of a 16-year shortcoming by this Republican legislature to allow school funding to at least keep up with inflation. So they're actually falling behind every year for 16 years. I've got to think that as you're getting into this race, you're hearing a lot of other people say this funding model for the schools of central Wisconsin has to change.
Well, it is my area. I was in education my whole life. I started school shortly before my fifth birthday, and I graduated from school at 67 when I retired from being a school administrator. School funding has always been an issue close to my heart and right on my mind. There's more than one way. Currently, our local schools, the primary burden is the community. And in our rural communities, we have tax structures, tax systems, and a tax base that just can't support a vibrant school. We don't have the programs that are possible. It's difficult to attract and retain staff. It's difficult to provide the range of services that such a diverse population of children need anywhere.
And you would see that she is looking to have those collaborative discussions to make these changes over at her website, gordonforwisconsin.com, or look up Chris Gordon for Wisconsin on Facebook. Chris, thank you very much. Best of luck to you. And thanks for introducing us to the Senate District, to the region, and to your campaign. Look forward to catching up again real soon.
Thank you. I know I got to go. I'm sorry I was late.
No worries.
Have me back anytime.
You got it. Thank you, Chris,
so much.
Thank you,
Chris.
We appreciate it.
Take care, my dears.
Luke Mathers is coming up next to tell us what else is coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis. Loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Show it, show it. I'm sexy and I know it.
Every so often, I'm reminded. Look at that, Luke actually killed his camera. He did not like his intro music that much. Every so often, we're reminded that Greg Bach is one of the minions for Luke Mathers. Looks at Luke like a father figure or a potential executioner. Either way, tries to suck up to him.
I look up to him for guidance and reason and knowledge, for he is the greatest, Luke Mathers.
Oh, jeez.
All right. We went from Etta James to this.
Yeah. Look how Luke can bring up the tempo of the show, which makes sense because I'm pretty sure, based on his title on screen, he's new Milwaukee Bucks head coach Luke Mathers. I'm guessing they just said, whoever has the biggest Milwaukee Bucks cap shall be our new head coach. And there he is. Congratulations, sir.
If only that's how it worked. If only that's how it worked. No.
All right. Well, let's get your reaction. Let's get your reaction first to the firing of Adrian Griffin with a 30-13 record.
See, it's really tough because I like Griff. I really do. Coach Griff, I think, is a really good guy. I think coming into the situation of a first-time ever head coach leading a team with as much talent that the Milwaukee Bucks have on that roster, and it's a very short window that we're gonna have here with the Bucks. We've got Giannis, we've got Chris, we've got Dame, we've got Brooke, we've got a lot of other supporting characters on this team, and if the Milwaukee Bucks don't get a championship this year, I think it's going to be deemed as a little bit of a loss. And so I think the Bucks front office made the decision after seeing those 43 games that it wasn't going to be enough to get us over the line. And they made a very difficult decision to go in a different direction. And so I appreciate what Adrian Griffin did for the team this far into the season. I'm very interested to see that what we can do with Doc Rivers, who is quite the opposite when it comes to, like, Doc's coached in a lot of different places. So it's going to be really telling. We had an excellent assistant coaching staff fill in last night with the victory over Cleveland. And I'm looking forward to the season. I'm still excited. I'm not taking it as kind of the palace intrigue. Oh, what led to this? I'm hoping it's kind of put in the past now, and they can really just focus on bringing home another Larry O'Brien trophy.
From Tony on the text line, Luke was producing Nightlight last night. He's working all day and night. You are appreciated, Mr. Mathers, for your commitment.
Takes a keen eye, Tony. Appreciate you keeping an eye on all of the civic media content to know that. But yes, I was up late last night with Mr. Pete Schwabba, and it was a good time. We had a lot of fun. As I've told you, Pat, I got to get the Infinity Gauntlet of producing all of the shows, and so now I can take care of
it. I don't want you to have that kind of power. Oh. No, no.
Now that you said Kimber, that, I'll remember that. Now you said that, I'll remember that.
From Kimber on Facebook.
Like, there's very few left that I need to get, but I'm almost there.
From Kimber on Facebook. Let's hear from Kristen about her thoughts regarding the Bucks. Kimber, I'm guessing that was sarcasm, but we're going to go with it anyway. Kristen.
Hey, I know a few things about sports. I was really surprised to hear that they were firing Adrian Griffin, but apparently, you know, there's a lot going on that we don't know about. And like you said, Luke, you look at the superstar team and you wonder, like, there are some moments where you're like, So I have to trust in the coaching staff, just like with the Packers and with Joe Barry and, you know, with Anders Carlson. Like, you just had to have to trust.
I was going
to
say the Packers signed a new kicker, too. I mean, it's sports is fickle that way.
I have a question for the Bucs fan in Luke Mathers.
Yes.
Is there anybody on the team that Doc Rivers can mold into a player or players that he can mold into great defensive players? Because that's what they need.
Well, and I think the hard part there, the short answer immediately is yes with Andre Jackson Jr. I think Ajax is got a lot of raw young talent, and I think having an experienced coach like Doc Rivers is going to we've already seen Ajax have leaps and bounds coming in. He's currently in his rookie season. I think part of the other aspect of it is one of our primary defenders when it's going to come down a long stretch, Crowder was injured for a large start of this season, and so Adrian Griffin kind of unfortunately was the victim of that injury really having an impact on the defensive performance by the team as well. But there's guys out there like I think there's more. Dame's played better defense this year than he ever did in Portland. Really, he's trying to contribute on that side of the ball. But when we've got Brooke Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo, like we shouldn't have a game out of playing the Pistons back to back. Like those were both barely wins, and so I think that kind of contributed too.
Somebody put up on social media last night just a quick 30-second clip of Giannis doing three bullet passes within that 30-second time frame. I mean, obviously, you see the guy. Of course he's strong. What a cannon when you see these passes. I mean, it's Nolan Ryan, you know, throwing at your head is what it is. And so when you've, again, you've got this level of talent that hopefully, like I said, if Doc has the, you know, the experience and the enthusiasm to do this, then good things are ahead for you as their new head coach.
The most important thing, the whole reason we're talking about this, though,
is to make
you can listen to the Milwaukee Bucks on 6 different civic media radio stations across our network. So you can tune in. You can't listen to them on the app, but you can listen to all the games on our terrestrial signals all across the state. And it's going to be a really exciting race to finish for this season, and I'm really hoping the Bucks can take care of business.
All right, so you can catch those on Civic Media, on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Amory, Racine, Park Falls.
And Wisconsin Rapids.
I was going to say Wisconsin Rapids, yes.
His voice kind of got high there when he said that. Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah, I think
Wisconsin Rapids is the flagship Badger station.
You know where I love Wisconsin Rapids?
They make sure that they get all of the Wisconsin Badgers games in, so sometimes when there's a little conflict, our Rapids team to not broadcast the Bucks. But that's only when we've got a Wisconsin Badgers commitment to make up there in Rapids.
Whereas the Badgers, the 13th-ranked Badger men's basketball team, plays tomorrow. They host Michigan State, 7 o'clock at the Kohl Center. So you can catch that on locally grown radio, news from the center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN, and in Racine, Kenosha as well. So we talked a lot of sports this time around. We normally talk about the shows that you can hear on the weekends and the nights, but head to civicmedia.us and you can learn more about that. But it was a big sports weekend, and we got a lot of sports here on Civic Media. So thank you, Mr. Mathers, for all of that.
Absolutely. Glad to be with you, Pat.
Dr. Lyerly, we ran out of time to talk about your measurements are being taken today for your letter jacket so that you can again pretend to be 19 years old. Good luck. Can't wait to see that. Greg, drive carefully in the fog down there. We'll see you all tomorrow for a Friday edition of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.
Birchwood to Poplar. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.